Morning.
Good morning.
Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren. Welcome into the house of God. And how wonderful it is to see you all this morning. And to you on the other side of the camera that we'll watch later, I'm glad that you are here to share with us for the sermon titled Fingertips. Our scripture lesson today comes from Matthew chapter 6, starting in the 25th verse. And because I can, because I'm a father, it's Dad Joke Sunday. So get your groans ready, get prepared, because here we go. You know, this past week, I went to the aquarium. I didn't stay there very long. There's something fishy about that place. That's pretty good. Hey, do you know why you never see elephants hiding in trees? It's because they're so good at it. Yeah, that's pretty good. Hey, what has five toes and isn't your foot? My foot. All right, there was the groan. What's blue and not very heavy? Light blue. Yeah. I was visiting with a friend of mine this past week, and we were just sitting there, and I was reading an article. We were waiting for our TV program to come on, and he was reading, and suddenly he started to jump. And I looked at him. I said, "What's wrong?" He goes, "I'm reading this horror story in Braille, and something bad is going to happen. I can just feel it." You know why dinosaurs can't clap their hands? Because they're extinct. Now, I had to go to the doctor's this week for a headache. And I was in there. The doctor was looking all around and he looked in my ear and he found money. He started pulling money out of my ear. And he kept going till he reached $1,999. I can't do it. Then the doctor leaned back and looked at me and said, "Oh, no wonder you're not feeling too grand." Okay, I'll stop. Dad Joke Sunday, you gotta love it. Fingertips, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? For the pagans run after all these things. About your head, and your Heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore," verse 34, "do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has troubles of its own." Let God add his blessings to these words as we seek him out in prayer. Please join me. Father, thank you that you are allowing us to be here today, that you have given us this great blessing. You've given us these four walls, and you've given us this place to come and stop for a moment. Let the words that you have given, and they have come from you, be what we need to hear right here, right now. Let them lift us up, Father. Let us learn, let us grow, and let us be ready to meet the world again when we walk out these doors. And let us evermore have the recharge to say, "Jesus Christ is the light of my world. so that others may know it, see it, and have a chance to come to know your Son and His salvation. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of His children said, Amen. The fingertip is the most distal portion of the finger, providing the tactile and sensory functions that are relayed from it to the brain. It is anatomically defined as the distal to the insertion of the flexor digitorum or superphalangeus, its extender tendons on the distal phalanx, or the interphageal joint when referring to the thumb. The neurovascular supply of the fingertip is via digital arteries and nerves which trifurcate near the distal interphalangeal joint. Yeah, that's pretty good, ain't it? I had to practice that for 20 minutes to get all that right. But wait, there's more. The volar pulp is supplied by specialized sensory Pacian, Mesmer corpuscles, and Merkel cells, which provide detailed discrimination of touch and feel sensations. Fingerprints present on the volar surface comprise a uniquely individualized pattern formed by grooves and ridges. The dorsal surface consists of the nail fold, nail bed, and nail plate. Additionally, the dorsal surface is based on relationship to the nail as follows, and I'm sorry, those words are beyond me. That is the scientific description of your fingertip, and I'm sure there's much more to it. Got it? Everybody say amen. Amen. Now today you can recite that, right? You can say the fingertip is the blah, 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 blah. Yeah, don't agree to that because we're in church and lying is a sin. With all that description, how many people feel like sometimes you are just hanging on by your fingertips? Say amen. Amen. That was pretty pitiful. I'm going to ask this question in a different angle. And we're going to go down this line by line so I can see to make sure that you're still awake. Number one, does anybody in this room worry? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, see, now we're picking up speed. Does anybody think that everything that they possibly touch is not going right? Say amen.
Amen.
Do you sometimes feel like your plans have not worked out at all the way you foresee them? Say amen.
Amen.
How many people in this room feel like sometimes they are simply holding on by their fingertips? Say amen.
Amen.
Now, was that so hard? Why do you make me work like that? I sweat and I have to dab my brow. It's the truth, though. Just this past week, I've been feeling it myself. I don't know whether it's world events or just the things around me or just one of those crazy things in life we call a cycle, but it seems like lately this week, I've been holding on by my fingertips. And this week, I was listening to a news program. And in the news program, the newscaster said this world is holding on by its fingertips. And it started me thinking. It started the range of motion going through my head. How many statements do we say, it's just out of reach of my fingertips. It's right at the edge of my fingertips. I am truly holding on by the fingertips of my life. All of that for this little piece of real estate right here, all 10 of them. Say 10. Actually, 8 and 2, right? Because thumbs aren't fingers, are they? We're not going down that rabbit hole. But seriously, we say that statement because the fingertip is an important part of the body. The fingertip is the interface between humans and the world. That's a pretty bold statement, Paul. I'm not even sure what you mean by that. Well, let me explain it to you. The fingertips allow us to know what is soft, sharp, hard, warm, cool, wet, dry. The fingertip allows us to show and receive affection. For most of us in this world, it is not thought about when it's happening. And yet I submit to you that this point is our interface between us and the world. You see, in 1886, her mother, inspired by an account in Charles Dickens's American Notes of the successful education of Laura Bridgman, a deaf and blind woman, sent young Helen Keller and her father to consult a physician, J. Julian Chisholm, an eye, ear, nose, and throat specialist in Baltimore, Maryland, for advice. He sent her to Alexander Graham Bell, who was working with deaf children at the time, and Alexander Graham Bell said she should go to the Perkins Institute, the school where Bridgman had been educated. It was located in South Boston. Michael Agonos, the school's director, asked 20-year-old Ann Sullivan, who was an alumna of the school and visually impaired, to become Helen's instructor. It was the beginning of a 50-year-long relationship as she became her governess and her companion. Sullivan arrived on Keller's house March 5, 1887, a day Helen Keller would forever remember as, quote, my soul's birthday. Anne began to teach her how to communicate by spelling words into her hand, by touch, by using the interface with the human world that she had. The first word she wanted to learn was doll that had been bought as a present, and she struggled and she got mad and she couldn't comprehend. And so Anne decided she would teach her the word for mug, and while trying to do it, Helen became madder and madder and threw it on the ground and broke it. Anne gathered up the mug and put it against Helen's hand and began to show her, don't move this way, feel this. The next month, Helen made a breakthrough when she realized that Anne was running her fingertips under cool water. Writing in her autobiography, she recalled that moment. I stood still. My whole attention was fixed upon the motions of her fingers. Suddenly I felt a misty consciousness of something forgotten, a thrill of returning thought, and somehow the mystery of language was revealed to me. I knew then that W-A-T-E-R meant the wonderful cool something that was flowing over my hand, across my fingertips. The living world awakened my soul. It gave me light, hope, and set me free. Anne quickly demanded that Sullivan teach her everything that she could possibly lay her hands on. Helen Keller was viewed as isolated, but was in touch with the outside world through the edges of her fingertips. She was able to enjoy music by feeling the beat, and she was able to have a strong connection with animals through touch. She was delayed at picking up language, but that did not stop her from having a voice shared from her touch with the outside world. Fingertips! And yet we use that phrase, hanging on by our fingertips. Oh, it's so terrible. I've heard people describe the morning as being destroyed because they couldn't have a cup of coffee. I am not kidding you. Now, I like my coffee. I get 2 cups every morning because if I have 4 cups, you do not want to be around me. Imagine if I had 4 on a morning like this. You think them dad jokes would have stopped anytime soon? People worry about things and they get twisted up. And we go back to the scripture and I omitted a verse on purpose. Verse 31, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we wear? Or what shall we drink? Or any of that. That's what people run after. And I know I do. But Jesus writing in these words is saying, God has you in his very hands. I'm saying to him this morning, he's got the whole world in his hands. Well, to him, you are the world. To God, you're everything. He created you. He took time from all that goes on around him, the man that created the world, that created a sunset, that created one of the most incredible, intricate things that I still get stymied over when I see it, and that is the web that garden spiders weave, that crazy Z pattern and everything. And I get so impressed with them that I catch the spider because I want to look at it real close, and then I'll bring it in to show Wendy. And Wendy's not impressed with that. And oftentimes I am showed the door at the end of her fingertips. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. God is saying, through Jesus, his son, all the things that he has made beautiful, and yet you are more beautiful to him than that. Someday when we get there, I want to understand verse 29. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor. I want to know about that. I want to know how beautiful it must have been. I want to know what he did. I've used this scripture a lot. I know it. There's a certain person in this congregation who I shall not mention because it might be too much for her, but her initials are Peggy Kiefer, who keeps a Bible, and in her Bible, she writes down my scripture and when I use them and how many times. And I'll bet this one's got 100 check marks next to it. Because every now and then, we have to return back to reminding ourselves of what we have. Ian McLaren said, what does anxiety do? It does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but it does empty today of its strength. It does not make you escape the evil. It makes you unfit to cope with it when it comes. God gives us the power to bear all the sorrow of his making, but he does not guarantee to give us the strength to bear the burdens of our own making that worry induces. It's hard. I know. We're programmed to worry. We're not righteous. We're not perfect. We're not washed completely out yet. I love watching those movies where the hero slash heroine, is that how I pronounce it? Where the hero of the movie, as the movie ramps up, there's that great crescendo coming, good versus evil, and evil is winning and beating back good. And finally, at the very crux of the movie, at the very top of it, the hero finds himself hanging off of a gutter or a ledge or the end of a roof or something by their very fingertips, and the bad guy is running around there trying to stomp on their fingers and make them fall away. And you sit there and you watch that. Don't fall! Don't fall! Don't fall! And at the last moment, at the very last moment, when they're hanging there maybe by one finger, and we'll understand that I am not the smartest person in the world. I'm not even the smartest person in this 4 square feet. And I've tried to hang by my fingertips just to see if I could do it, and I did wind up with stitches once because of it. Because at the last moment, that hero summons the strength and becomes powerful enough that they pull themselves up and they win. And usually it's by catching the bad guy and throwing him over the hill behind them. And I get drawn to it every time. Then they get themselves back up on solid ground and they're like, man, wasn't no big deal. Stupid Hollywood. And I'm a sap for it. And Christians, when we worry, when we lose sight, we forget that our strength lies right here at, come on, say it with me, at our what? Fingertips. Woohoo! It's right here. Safety, love, comfort, hope, inspiration. Right there. Right there. Time and time again, the Bible is full of stories. Time and time again, where people, great people of God, prophets and seers, they think that it's all lost. Those that should know God the most. And yet, they lose sight. They hold on by their fingertips, realizing they don't have to. And we will always, 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 always be on the edge until one day when we're not. And that's okay. One day we're not going to have to worry about it anymore. One day we're not going to worry about what we do, what we wear, how sick we are, a headache, anything. All these aches and pains will be washed away. They're not washed away right now. But Jesus said in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Jesus is right at our what? Fingertips. Well, you guys are doing good today. Did you guys have two cups of coffee too? Uh-huh. Maybe some of you are tea drinkers. I don't know. All I know is this. We can't do anything by worrying about nothing. Oh, we're going to worry. We're going to wind ourselves up over silly things. But when we're in those throes of it, we need to be reminded. We need to put ourselves forward and just hear the last part of Matthew chapter 6. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Actually, let's back up to 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Everything we have, everything we need, our touch, our connection, right here at our fingertips. Don't be afraid to reach out. You'll be able to hang on forever to this. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We are blessed that we are allowed to be short in our strength and our faith, because the blessing comes from being able to reach out, touch your word and you, and become whole again. As we go through our ups and downs, our trials and tribulations, let us not forget that we are connected to you forever. Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus, who has given us so much and continues to and will. And on that day when we see him in glory, we will be able to reach out and touch him, first with our fingertips, then with our arms, and then with our heart. Thank you, Father, for these words in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you will indulge me for a minute, Linda. I was looking for something while we were going through, and I happened to look up and see what the last hymn was. Many, many times when I start finishing up a sermon, I am often wondering if I'm anywhere as close to where I'm going to be. So if you will permit me, I'm going to ask that you would stand, turn in your hymnal here to 505, and the title of this song is what?
He touched me.
What do you think he touched you with? His
fingertips.
He touched me. Let us all sing that one in joy. Yes. Amen.
Since I met this blessed Savior. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole.
Father, thank You. Thank You for giving us this message to strengthen us in this week to come. We seek Your blessings, the blessings of Jesus Christ, and the comfort and security of the Holy Spirit. As we travel on this week, we thank You. Amen.